Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Trek actor, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite Eternal Ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/ The Delta Flyers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, Robbie.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. You just came back from a post office trip.
I ran to the post office. Yeah. We had to delay this just a few minutes because I am resupplying my stereo setup.
Yes.
I found a vintage turntable, a Marantz. 6150B, I think, is the model number.
Is it gold colored? Is it Marantz into sort of what color?
Marantz had a little gold flare. I haven't even opened the box yet. I just but it's a nice turntable. I've got a Marantz amplifier from the 70s as well.
Nice.
And some Advent speakers from the late 70s. So it's a nice little setup.
I like it. Do you have a lot of vinyl? I mean, I don't know how many albums you have.
I had lost all my vinyl over the years. I just kind of given it away or in moves or in life. I didn't listen to vinyl for a long, long time.
Okay.
And then a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago, my father gave me the amplifier as a Christmas gift. Because when my dad was in college, he worked at an electronics store.
Oh, wow.
And Marantz was the top of the line. He always wanted a Marantz, but he couldn't. He got a much cheaper one when I was a kid.
Right.
And so he got himself a Marantz finally when he was older. And then he decided I needed a Marantz and my boys needed a Marantz and my nephew needed a Marantz. And so he found Marantz.
Marantz Santa Claus.
Exactly.
Wow.
But this is the new and improved turntable. So it's
Is Marantz an American brand?
Or it actually was. It was a California. It was designed and engineered or whatever in California.
Yes.
I want to say Moore Park or somewhere. It was out in the valley.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So this is Southern California, Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
And maybe Marantz is the name of the guy who invented
it? I can't remember. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I do know, because when I was shopping around for some of these, I noticed that it did say Marantz from California, you know.
Interesting.
But I don't know where they manufactured it, if they manufactured in the Valley or if they manufactured out of the country or I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, high end, you know, or vintage kind of turntable stuff it's pretty interesting to have that stuff now.
Yeah.
You know, the new generation, they don't really listen to vinyl. So
no,
everything's digital these days. We just got back from Confederation Park. We had a nice little walk around the park, kind of a Pokemon Go event day. And I had stopped playing Pokemon about 2 years ago. And then Megan's still into it. So she got me back into it now. So I'm starting to play a little bit more Pokemon, catch some more Pokemon. So
nice.
It was fun. What was not fun was that I think I was lapped by a group of grandmothers. There's in terms of they were That's walking funny. So briskly. I had to move out of the way so they can walk past me the one time. And they lapped me. Like they walked the park twice before I could even walk.
But they weren't
once.
Distracted by trying to catch
Pokemon. They weren't trying to catch Pokemon, but they were on a power walk. And all these were octogenarians, I'm pretty sure. And I was very surprised with that pace. And also slightly embarrassed. And Megan was laughing. And she goes, "You should tell Robbie that you got lapped by the gray That's crew, funny. By the silver gang." So, yeah.
That's funny. This morning, Rebecca and I took a hike up our trail. We do about 4 or 5 miles of a hike just about every morning.
Right.
We're coming back down. We ran into a neighbor who's an older, I don't know, 70, maybe
70,
80s-ish. Mm. Not 80s, but this woman is like 70. And she's on her mountain bike coming up the hill. And she stops to chat with us. And she said, "Oh, yeah. My husband and I already went out and did our walk this morning, and I'm just doing another." She'd already done a walk.
This is her second thing.
This is her second thing. It's like 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, and she's out climbing the mountain on her mountain bike. Oh, my
gosh. Where was hubby?
He already did his mountain bike before their hike. So he did his mountain bike, then a hike. Now she did the hike, and she's doing a mountain bike. Kind of like you getting lapped. I feel like we both were put to shame.
We were.
By much older people today.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. No. All right. So we'll be watching Equinox Part 2 today. So finally, we get to see the ending. And remember, what did we leave it off with? The last thing we saw.
There's a fissure opening and a life form coming right at Janeway.
So what we do not know is, does Janeway get mummified or not? Does she get the mummification treatment?
So this is scary.
Yes, it's very scary because it looks like she was looking the other way when that thing was coming right at her.
Chakotay,
her true love, was yelling, "Captain, Captain!" That sounds like him. Captain.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. I can imitate. The only thing that it's tough to imitate, Beltran. The thing that I always would go to was that one line in the episode when he goes, "Any luck yet, Tuvok? Any luck yet, Tuvok?" And so any luck yet, Tuvok would get me into it, but I couldn't say anything else in the Chakotay voice. But yelling, "Captain!" is, I can get closer.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. you should be working on some of your impersonations.
I think I should.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and also that actor who I was wondering what he looked like, the guy that gets up and he's all kind of disoriented, he's firing at Neelix, Sean Whalen. Sean Whalen, the actor. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but
a little bit, yeah.
The way his hair looks is like and everything. Same.
Okay.
Look. Okay. There you go. All right.
Good call.
Okay. You ready?
Let's go watch it.
Go watch it. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Robbie and I are back from watching Equinox Part 2. Boy, that was a action-packed ending.
It was dense. There was so much happening in terms of like the battle logic.
Yeah.
Whose side was who on switcheroos and the Janeway's descent into darkness.
Oh my goodness. And then the other thing that surprised me is that they let David do both back to back.
I know. I wonder
why did that happen, Robbie?
This was a season opener, right? Did they shoot part one at the end of a season and part two at the beginning? I don't think so. I feel like they were shot
back to back, is what you're thinking.
Yeah, back to back, even though they were aired.
But if they separated them, that would give him time to do prep for the second.
He just prepped both of them as like a 2-hour movie. Yeah. Okay. Probably that's what happened, because I don't think they would have gotten these actors to hold over a hiatus till we came back, you know, the guest stars.
That's true. Okay, so basically this was filmed at the end of season 5 and is what both parts, and they just aired,
and then they split it
into two.
Part 2 is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, spoiler alert, you know, at the end there's a lot of weighty, very heavy stuff with Janeway.
Oh, very much so.
This sense of very like, I've gone to a very dark place, and they probably didn't want to go out of, maybe they shot them as a 2-parter finale, but then went, oh, we don't want to finish our season.
like on this. Yeah, on this
dark
note.
So we'll, if we make it a two. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe.
I totally know what you mean. Maybe they, after they saw the dailies, they're like, wow, that's where this is going. Let's
make it a 2-parter. Cause at least the cliffhanger feels like a cliffhanger. And then we come back. But I was just thinking like, that's a tough way to start a season too.
Oh, totally. Definitely. It's a drain, man. After you watch this, your whole soul feels like it's been stepped on in a way. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness.
And so much of that comes from like the divisions that happen in relationships that you think are strong, whether it's our guest star division, you know, the mutiny there, or the Janeway Chakotay thing, the doctor behaving in really ways that we've never seen him behave before.
Yeah, very scary.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And then just Janeway, like throwing everything out. Like this is her Moby Dick moment. This is, I'm going to get this guy. This is like, she feels this righteous, you know, kind of
she turned into the alien captain who was dealing with the pitcher plant. Oh my goodness. Let's do our haiku and limerick for this part.
Let's have a little levity please, with our fancy poetic synopses. Yeah. Okay.
Here's my haiku for Equinox part two.
Yes, sir.
Janeway doesn't die. She is obsessed with ransom. One last ocean view.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Okay, let's hear the limerick.
Okay, our limerick. And by the way, I want to say, I thought this was all going to be about the love triangle, part two. The love triangle with it.
With Burke
and B'Elanna. And I'm very disappointed. I really thought this was going to all cover that. But anyway, here's our limerick. Okay.
Yeah.
Janeway's anger with Equinox was really obsessive. Letting aliens torture someone was definitely excessive. JC have a really big fight. Ransom finally comes to the light. But ex-boyfriends are what make this episode extra depressive.
Not depressing, but depressive to match the other rhyme.
I just had to throw a shot at Burke there. Trying to come after my lady.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
This episode was written by, as we talked about before, Brannon and Joe.
Yeah.
Brannon Braga, Joe Manosky. Story was by Rick Berman, Brannon and Joe.
Yeah.
Directed by David Livingston, we said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of our guest cast was the same, except we didn't have Naomi Wildman.
No.
And we added
the Ankari captain.
His name is Eric Steinberg is his name.
What?
His Eric Steinberg. Do you know him? Eric Steinberg.
Yes.
He was under all of that makeup.
I did not know that was him.
Eric Steinberg, his very first job was in a martial arts independent film in 1993 called Rage of Vengeance.
Okay. So you do not remember Eric Steinberg then, do you?
No. Who's Eric Steinberg?
Eric Steinberg, initially, you know, I had six auditions, right? So the sixth audition was between somebody who was basically 30 and older, Ensign Kim, and then myself. So Eric Steinberg was the final person left between. Yes, it was him or me to be Ensign Harry Kim. And I talked about this before, but you're probably not going to be
able to remember the name.
Yeah, but that's, it's Eric. And part of the reasoning why I got the role was because I evidently look more Asian than Eric, who's half Korean and half Jewish. So because he's not 100% Asian, I think that's him.
Eric Steinberg.
That's Eric. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was also utilized because Berman would never know
because he was under so much makeup.
No clue. But you do see him in First Contact. He's one of the first people to be sort of like the first Starfleet people to be killed by the alien, you know, whoever the bad guys are in that film. So he's in there as a human. Wow. So he's not in prosthetics. And clearly Berman took a liking to him because now he was in First Contact. He was in this episode. I had no idea that was him in this episode.
You'd never know.
Oh my gosh. You know what? Eric, I need to reach out to Eric. I really do.
Eric was born in Washington, D.C. His first job was 93 in
the martial arts film,
Rage of Vengeance.
Yeah.
And then he, I guess he did Babylon 5.
Yeah, he's done.
He's done a bunch of sci-fi.
His resume is long. He's done a lot.
Wow. Mm. Well, that's Eric.
Wow.
Our Ankari captain.
Thank you for bringing up that little factoid. I'm excited.
You are welcome.
So at the very beginning of this episode, we have a recap of episode one. Just shows all the bullet points of episode one. And then we begin with that scene on the bridge. And Janeway gets knocked down, as well as Chakotay, after he yells, "Captain!" He also gets knocked down by an alien. But why aren't they completely mummified?
I don't know. I feel like she just gets grazed by them or something.
Oh,
the radiation.
I have a few come-ons
in this episode, by the way.
Okay, so this is our first, you do agree with me, right? Because on the Equinox Bridge, when those crew members were touched, like, I mean, a millisecond by the alien, they were completely mummified. They were dead. They were done. But so this our bridge,
thermionic radiation is what they're dying from right. these yes. nucleogenic life forms.
Yes.
So this thermionic radiation should, if you're in contact with it even a little bit, should kill you. You're right.
It's just weird. It just made no sense.
But I will say throughout the episode, now let's think through the episode, not everybody died. Like, remember in the sick bay, there were people laying on the floor
right.
who were injured.
That's our ship. Everyone on the Equinox who came into contact with one of those aliens didn't make it, pretty yeah. much. Everything that, at least what we saw. So maybe yeah. there were some others in sick bay, in their sick bay, but it seemed a little inconsistent for me. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, you know, I don't know about this. So that was my first. Mm.
I did notice, you know, when Janeway's standing and the thing goes at her, she's obviously not injured.
Yeah.
And then when she falls down, we cut to an angle that's a close up where you see immediately
yeah,
this
a little bit of a something going on
radiation mm-hmm. burn or whatever it was. So that was obviously applied. Those were shot at different times because correct. She had to go in and get her makeup on and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I also noticed as they're attacking that Tom Paris is hiding behind the con firing. He's holding on to it for dear life. A, why is he such a scaredy cat? And B, who's flying the ship now? He got up from his chair, goes and hides behind the con, shooting. And then he goes over to help. Paris Listen. Goes over to help Chakotay, calls the doctor.
Yeah.
And still, who's flying the ship?
Clearly, you put it on autopilot. It's Dude. Very, very clear to me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only way you can validate that. You're right. Like, nobody's flying it any longer.
Yeah.
So after Janeway gets up from being hit by the alien, she seems pretty good. She's not too bad. Yeah. She says, let's have a deflector pulse to reinforce these shields. Harry gives the casualty count. There are 2 dead and 13 wounded. Mm-hmm. And Equinox has gone to warp. So they're gone. They've left us to deal with this mess. And this is the great scene on the Equinox bridge. Lessing is sitting there saying, oh, it looks like Voyager is under attack. And the close-up is on Ransom's face, who thinks for a millisecond. And then immediately he says, maintain course. Like, he's like, we're not going to help him. See ya. He's gone. And he's obsessed with getting his crew home. So that's yeah. his obsession. And it's just, I don't know. It just, to me, I'm still bugged by the fact that Janeway and Chakotay just had that little boop and that was it.
Yeah. Also, when Chakotay's injured and Paris calls to sick bay, there's no response from the doctor. So we did touch right. on that, yep. right? Mm-hmm, the doctor mm-hmm. who was yep. Downloaded onto the other ship.
Right. And then we find out later in the next scene, it starts in the turbolift, right? And it's a cool wide angle shot of Janeway walking out with a phaser rifle flanked by 2 armed crewmen. She comes
looking
around
like
a corner.
The Terminator or
yes,
something.
Looking like
very,
the Terminator.
Very cool She's shot.
Very cool. She
finds
walks
a dead
a
alien. Yeah. yeah. Finds this dead alien. Now, did you think that was practical or VFX? I think that was a VFX on the floor.
You think it was?
Yeah. I don't think they would have made a giant practical alien to
Too
lay
expensive.
On the floor.
Too expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. definitely the ones in the air moving around are VFX. But
I agree.
When
because
I saw
if you
that
look
one
at
on the floor, I was like, yeah. is that real? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, when you look, also look at the eye line for Neelix. Like, he's looking a little differently towards the end from where the alien actually was. So then that would make even more sense that it was
that would totally,
VFX. Yeah. But this alien, like, what does it look like to you?
A tadpole, a giant tadpole. That's what I wrote down. They look like giant tadpoles, like
with piranha, with a piranha mouth.
With a piranha mouth.
Yeah. Giant tadpole. Okay. Neelix shows up and says that he's found the doctor's mobile emitter on deck 9 and hands it to Janeway and says, you should probably take this back to sick bay. And she does.
Right.
Now, Tom is there. Because now we have no doctor and we have no pilot. We just have Tom as the
Tom standing by somebody
and by doctor
with a crewman. And they raise the blanket over
He just dies or he's
just
been,
died.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of crewmen on the floor.
Yes.
Laying on the floor who've been injured with blankets on them.
Yeah.
And I thought, why would you put blanket? Like, blankets are weird.
Yeah.
Like, what, how does that help treat them? It just covers them up more. So you can't see if there's more radiation burns. It's, I, I just thought that blankets were weird.
But I think they did that to give the idea of they also were injured. Because if you have a bunch of crewmen laying down on the floor with no blankets, it looks like everyone's engaged in nap time or something.
Did like, we never had any like portable beds for, you know, like cots or...
We did have cots. Yes, we've had cots before. Like,
why didn't they put them
where
in
are the
cots?
Dead gum cots? Yeah, we needed those cots. I'm sure those cots are somewhere. Neelix knows where.
By the way,
at.
Where does the name cot come from? I've never thought about it, but it just now that we've said the word cot a bunch of times, cots, yeah. It starts to sound like a weird word. You know when you repeat a word too many times?
You're right.
It loses its meaning and it sounds like weird sound.
And it's funny you mentioned that. There's another word later that comes up that I also had the same thought about. I'll bring it up when we get there.
A weird word.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the weird word episode. Okay. Anyway, dead crewman in the bed, injured people on the floor. Chakotay gets the fancy bed, I guess.
He's the commander. He gets the clamshell. Okay. He's extra special.
Yeah. But if he was a man of the people, he would have laid in a cot.
Or on the floor.
I'm just
with a blanket.
Yeah. But he got the fancy bed. Okay.
He did. Yeah. And you go over and you administer a hypo spray. You give him a hypo spray.
I do. Janeway comes in. She reactivates the doctor.
Yes.
And here's where I went. Wait a minute. She reactivated. So the mobile emitter was on the ground and she went over. And
she stuck the mobile emitter on a console and hit a few buttons and reactivated the EMH. That's what happened.
So here's the thing.
Okay. Yeah, there's a disconnect for you, isn't there?
There's a disconnect.
What is it?
So if the doctor is one program.
Yes.
Not right. And we're going to get to the copy of the doctor later on. But anyway, if he's a program.
Yes.
Does he have to get completely downloaded into the mobile emitter every time he goes away? So let me keep talking. So if it's one program that gets downloaded to the mobile emitter, that means every time he's off the ship with the mobile emitter, we don't have a doctor on the ship. We can't activate.
Correct. That's right.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Let's follow the mobile emitter for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he's in the mobile emitter. He goes over, his program's there. He's being projected by a mobile emitter. There's no other doctor on the ship.
Right.
He goes to the alien ship and the guy just takes a pad and hits the mobile emitter and it falls to the ground. So where did the doctor suck back into the mobile emitter?
Yes.
Okay. Now he's in the mobile emitter with a bad doctor.
Yeah.
Bad doctor then downloads him into their computer.
Correct.
And puts the mobile emitter on, bad doctor goes into the mobile emitter.
Correct. Right. And our doctor goes into their database, basically. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So now, now later on, so now we've got bad doctor over on our ship with a mobile emitter.
Yeah.
Which he tricked everybody by falling down. Right. He
deactivated something and he just goes and back into the emitter and falls.
So now bad doctor's in the mobile emitter.
Correct.
Good doctor's over on the bad ship.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Now, when they reactivate, so she reactivates the doctor out of the mobile emitter. Now I've got bad doc on there. I didn't think the mobile emitter, it was an emitter. It's not a mobile computer. It's a mobile emitter. It's a hologram emitter. So I thought the mobile emitter was always tied into the mainframe of us.
Yeah.
The doctor was always back there just being emitted.
Right.
I didn't know he was in this loop.
Okay. So what you're saying is the minute bad doctor slaps that pad onto his mobile emitter, he should have went back into our database immediately.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Like an emitter. It's not like a,
yes.
It's not a mainframe.
It's not a storage device. No. Exactly. Okay.
I just felt like there was a lot of, loose and freewheeling with the doctor's technical, how that works.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little loosey goosey.
And his ethical subroutines, like, oh, we could just do that. What?
Yeah.
That seems like a big problem that should have come up long ago if people knew they could do that. Anyway, let's not get stuck on the doctor. Janeway does reactivate who she thinks is the doctor. And we think it's the doctor.
We do
too. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody thinks it is.
Yeah. And he says he was taken hostage. by the Equinox crew, and he deactivated himself to escape. And, you know, everyone believes it immediately. Janeway basically tells Chakotay that Harry has been analyzing this sound that we hear when the fissures are opening up. And Harry thinks it's some form of communication. And Janeway wants to find the Equinox. And Chakotay wants to stop the attacks. And so this is the beginning of the battle between our commander and our captain in terms of what is the priority for Voyager at this point. And at that point, the alien sound does start up and everyone's a little bit nervous. Do you have any
Chakotay says in the scene, he goes, I think it's their way of communicating.
Right.
And he says, I want to figure out how to communicate.
Doesn't say that. She says Harry thinks it's some
form. That's right. Harry thinks it's their way of communicating. He's analyzing it. And then Chakotay says, well, you know, I once figured out how to communicate with a Torellian sea pod.
Yes, he does say that.
He goes, it can't be much harder than that. I was like, what?
Well, yeah, since these are just tadpoles, a tadpole, a sea pod, you know, pretty similar.
Yeah,
maybe.
All right. So we hear the sounds again. Yep. And then we go to this weird ocean POV.
Yes, the seaside POV, the waves, everything.
Yeah. Just kind of panning. The camera sort of pans across this Malibu beach scene.
Well, not Malibu. That water is definitely Caribbean or somewhere else. Like or Mexico. I wouldn't put that as Malibu.
I think they just color timed
turquoisey blue.
They went out to Malibu and then they just color timed.
All they do is
vis effects.
They can make it more turquoisey, and that's
It has to be Malibu or somewhere like that because Seven shows up later on. So Jerry Ryan had to physically be there. They didn't send her down.
They didn't go down to the Bahamas. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was. It was
just Malibu, off of the California coastline is what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we hear someone calling in his room, his eyes open, and we realize he's got this synaptic stimulator on, and he pulls it off his neck, this thing. It's basically...
It's like an Oculus.
He basically pulls the Oculus off his neck.
Yeah.
He's been looking at a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
And Burke brings Seven into his quarters.
Yes.
And Ransom basically says, hey, you know, stay here with us. You can use this thing. I was looking at the beautiful ocean. You can take a vacation on the beach. So this is where she knows what this is. So later on, you know, I guess that's the connection of her being there, that somehow in his mind, he's connecting this. I don't know.
Something like
that. Or did she get into the synaptic?
It's a little foggy because it seems like she somehow accessed it, you know, if you want to look at it from that angle. But he does give her two choices. You can stay in the brig or you can join this crew. And she's immediately, she doesn't even think about it. She's just like, no, I'm going to go ahead and join the brig instead of this crew. That's where you're going to put me. Ransom orders Burke to go take care of her wound and does some really weird hand gesture across her
face. Yes, I wrote that down too. He gestures to her wound and have this looked at or something.
It was very bizarre. I was like, what is happening here? But, you know.
It was creepy.
Yeah, creepy is a good way.
We go out to space. There's a Equinox flyby here. Mm-hmm. Then we go into their sick bay.
Yes, lab, that's what I wrote. I said Equinox sick bay. Let's go with that. Burke scans Seven, and he tries to have a little bit of witty banter with her.
He's so funny, the ex-boyfriend.
He knew you would say something about this.
He says, yes, it looks like we're going to have to amputate it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't respond. He goes, oh, come on. It was a joke. She's like, no, your sense of humor is crude. And I wrote down, Paris would agree.
Yeah.
Burke's sense of humor is crude. He's a crude man. And by the way, there was an extra there that was part of their crew who I feel like we used in Voyager.
Like,
I've seen him.
Really?
Yeah, one of the extras.
In the background when she's
like,
being
how
scanned?
Can he be on our both ship crews. And on the Equinox? It doesn't make sense, but they had the uniform fit for him. So,
good catch. I did not notice that at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So while, you know, after Seven shuts down Burke, which you're so happy about, he taps a few controls and he notices that their EMH has left them with a little present, which is our EMH. And so he activates him And now we have our doctor noticing exactly what the situation is. And he says, go ahead, treat Seven, treat your crew member.
And he's still good doctor, by the way. He's still good doctor.
Yeah, he hasn't
still good doctor. He's like, they're both stuck there. They realize they're stuck together. Mm-hmm. And next we go to the engine room, I think.
Yes, it's Equinox Engineering Room. And again, this is so freaky because Gilmore, she says, Marla to Bridge, we're ready. And I'm like, oh God, you know, she's using her first name.
They talked about that in the other episode. Everybody's using their first names.
Yeah, I know. We talked about how they've been using first names before, but that's usually face to face. Like once you're in the ship and you're in the midst of battle or whatever, I would assume that they'd fall back into military sort of, you know.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, you'd think, but it's like, hey, it's Becky to the bridge. We're all ready. It's like a little, it just pulled me out a little bit. That's all.
But they do say they're ready to activate the enhanced warp drive and using these aliens as fuel. Yeah.
20 isograms of the compound. The compound?
Yeah.
Dead alien is what it is. They should have said that. 20 isograms of the dead alien, please. But, you know, it's just absolutely horrifying that they're doing this. Yeah,
but it's looking good for them. They're just about to hit this enhanced warp drive when the ship shudders and
nothing happens.
They realize nothing that the happens. Power relays are offline, that they've been encoded with some kind of something
encryption code.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ransom realized back on the bridge. He realizes it's got to be Seven of Nine. She's the one that did this.
Yeah.
So right. We go to sick bay and Ransom comes in and he's like, I want these codes. She refuses.
Yeah.
And then they say, you can just get the codes out of her. She's bored. You can just, you know,
extract them.
Extract the codes. And the doctor, good doctor still, he says, nope, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, he says that Seven's cranial infrastructure is highly complex. So, you know, good luck trying to figure out what she even had for breakfast. Like, it'll take forever. Mm-hmm. And then the Burke. I just called him the Burke.
He's the Burke.
He asked the doctor to extract this information, and the doctor refuses. And Burke threatens to delete his program. And the doc goes mano a mano and says, go ahead. Go right ahead. And then Seven's sort of like, no, calm down. And the doctor says, no, they're not going to delete my program. I'm too important. They need me. And basically, they just going back and forth. But before the doctor can say another word, Ransom has removed his ethical subroutines. And at this point, he goes from good doctor. To creepy.
He's just like the creeper on the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And in a very, very non-threatening voice, the doctor says that she will resist and I will have to restrain her. And it's so creepy. So he takes Seven away to start beginning this extraction. And Seven's totally she's confused. And she's also scared. I don't know about scared, but she's not excited about what's about to happen, though.
No,
I'm sure.
Yeah. No. The next thing is a Voyager flyby in space. So we're going back over to Voyager. And Janeway's reading Chakotay's translated message that he's going to send.
Yes.
And I left when she says, well, it's not exactly Shakespeare. But it'll do.
Yeah. So she hands this, they hand the pad or whatever they, is it a pad that they're holding with the
yeah,
with
it looks
the
message? Like a pad.
Yeah, something like that over to Harry. And so Chakotay says, why don't we just lower weapons? And Janeway says, no, we need to draw weapons. They lower the shields and one alien comes out of the fissure. And instead of heading to the closest person, which would be Tom, but are you even on the bridge at this point? Are you here?
Yeah, I'm down there. Yeah.
So it should go to you because you're right there, but it goes to Harry instead.
I think because you sent the message, maybe.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yes.
Because they handed you the pad.
Right,
it came from your station. Maybe they knew that somehow.
Yes. And it comes right up to Harry.
Comes right up to your face. I thought you guys were going to have a romantic moment of some kind.
Did you think that it would be tadpole love at that point?
I thought it might be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, clearly Harry is the tadpole whisperer because he doesn't mummify Harry and it turns around and just shoots back into that little fissure. And unfortunately, there is no response from the aliens. The message, there's another ship shake because they're still trying to get in. And Janeway's like, well, I guess that didn't work. So she orders another deflector pulse, which kind of holds them off for a second. And Chakotay says, look, you know, give me another shot at this message thing. I think we can try to alter the message a little bit. And Janeway disagrees. She goes, listen, you know, we don't have time for that.
She says, stop tinkering with adverbs.
I love that line, though. It was a really well, I just think that that was really cool.
I was like, whoa, she's getting harsh.
She is very harsh. Yeah.
She goes in the ready room here. He follows her in and he says, hey, you think maybe you're holding a grudge here?
Yeah.
She basically says, yeah, I am. I'm angry because he abandoned everything that Starfleet stands for.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, I'm going to hunt him down no matter what.
All right, Captain Ahab Janeway.
Yeah.
Hunt him down.
They're not being very J.C. Lovey.
No.
There's not a lot of J.C. Love going on. This could be the end of it right here.
Oh, my goodness. It's painful watching this. So now we have an exterior space shot of Equinox in orbit of some random planet. So now we're thinking, where the heck are they? We jump over to the Equinox Bridge, and Burke asks Ransom why he's brought them there. And he says, look, this planet has a pathogenic atmosphere. It's going to keep us from being detected so that we can make repairs. Lessing also chimes in and says, hey, I've discovered some deuterium deposits on the planet. So Ransom orders Noah Lessing to take an away team down to the planet to harvest some of this deuterium.
Then we go to the sick bay of Equinox and we see the doctor singing. And my first thought was, I bet Bob pitched this.
Do you think so?
I don't know why.
I don't,
maybe not. So the song went a little something like this.
Yeah.
The ocular node's connected to the sensory node. The sensory node's connected to the cortical node. The cortical node's connected to the reticular node. And then Seven says something.
Yeah.
I was like, but then later on, there is some singing. So maybe not. Maybe he didn't pitch it. But I first saw it, I was like, oh, I bet he pitched this. That sounds like something he would do.
But I got to say, that's just so creepy, how that scene started up. Just hearing him sing that. It's just like a little nursery song.
Yeah, while he's doing brain surgery on her. Painful brain surgery. Turn her into a vegetable.
Yeah, she's going to be a carrot.
And he says, like, don't be so gloomy. Why are you so sad? We're going to see Earth.
Yeah.
And then she says, if you let me, I'll restore your ethical subroutines. He's like, nope, I need your help. Ransom comes in then.
Yeah.
And the doctor, even though it's the good doctor, he's lost his ethical subroutines. So he's like the altered doctor.
Yeah.
Ransom comes in though. And the doctor says, you know, she's going to be severely damaged after I'm done.
Yeah. He says her higher brain functions, which control language, cognitive skills, so basically just moving and talking, will be severely damaged. She's not good.
But Ransom is very, you can tell he's very troubled by this.
Yeah.
And he's struggling. He says to her, please give me the codes. Like, we don't have to do this. And he says, you don't understand. I had no choice.
Yeah.
And Seven sort of calls him on this. She's like, oh, you say that a lot. You have no choice. You said that things were so bad, you know, so your story is things were so bad that this was the only option you had. And she goes, does that logic comfort you? Which I thought was, whoa. She really, because this is important, the scene, because it's the beginnings of him really, the potential for guilt and responsibility was there. But this is the scene that really, I think, turns him.
Now he's facing it. He's really, really thinking about it. Exactly. And for Seven to even come up with that, it gets so deep at this point, you know, and you're just thinking, oh my goodness. But she refuses. She goes, nope, not going to do it.
So he leaves and the doctor goes back to work singing as he goes.
Spooky singing continues. We have a captain's log supplemental. Janeway says the warp drive is back online, but sensor sweeps have failed to locate the Equinox. We can't find them. Okay, so we're back in the captain's ready room on Voyager. Chakotay enters. He has submitted his recommendation in writing, which is extremely rare. Janeway even says that. You never do this. Yes. And he basically says, well, you know, you weren't really up to listening to what I was saying before, so I'm going to submit it in writing. And he says that we need to be able to find the Ankari, the race that gave the Equinox crew this summoning device, which brought the aliens, brought the aliens from their realm to our realm. And he says that maybe if we can find the Inkari, they will be able to communicate with these aliens, and they can tell these aliens to please just call off these attacks and explain everything and, you know, set the record straight. And Janeway basically says, that's
she's
not
like,
going to be...
take us 50 years off our course, 50 yeah. light years, sorry, yeah. off our course.
Yeah.
No, absolutely no. not. Mm-mm. And but she says she studied Ransom's service record.
Right.
And right. the she found that he has a tendency to hide.
That's right.
When he's being pursued. And she mm-hmm. goes through a couple of stories about how he used sort of hiding as a strategy.
Yeah.
So she says, Chakotay, you need to go to astrometrics and find the likely hiding places. You know, if there's planets or nebulas, do a big
yeah, basically,
scan.
Where would you hide if you were yeah. being pursued? And she basically negates the entire recommendation to find the Inkari. She's like, no, nope,
yeah.
not
so again,
even, Chakotay's not interested.
Trying to find like a strategic, peaceful solution. She yeah. just wants to
no.
find, she's obsessed.
No, completely. Completely.
We have a cool space shot. Do you remember the space, the equinox going over the planet? And it was like overhead. It was cool shot.
Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Flying over the planet, which we don't normally see that angle on our show from any ships, but I thought
you're
that
right.
was cool. Yeah,
I agree.
We go inside Ransom's quarters again. Mm-hmm. He puts on this synaptics simulator, and it's an Oculus. I just want to be clear. He put on an Oculus.
Okay.
This time he's looking out of the ocean and there's a blonde woman.
Yeah.
Facing away from us. We don't know who it is, but there's a woman standing there.
Yeah.
Far away. So you can't tell who it is. I thought maybe it was Gilmore or something. I was like,
really? I knew it was Seven immediately. Did you
I did not know it was Seven.
You thought it was Marla? Okay.
I don't know. I was it was small. So I don't know.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
We go to the engine room on the Equinox.
Oh, it's not the engine room. They actually go. Okay, so what happens is after he sees the woman in the dress, he kind of freaks out. So he takes off the synaptic simulator and he exits his quarters, and the next shot is him entering the bridge, the Equinox.
Oh, that's the bridge. Oh,
yeah.
He's talking to Gilmore, right?
Yeah, and Gilmore.
Oh, I thought it was the engine. But some of the set, this is part of the thing, is they created the Equinox out of, I think, a bridge that they built for the Equinox or a repurposed something.
Yeah.
But then they used other places like certain hallways, or I think Ransom's quarters was probably that utility room across from the mess hall.
Yeah.
That we used a lot. Like I sometimes was like, wait, am I on Voyager? Am I on the Equinox? Am I on the bridge? And there was so much damage. It was hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. And anyway. my notes, I thought it was Ransom's ready room, like the captain's ready room right off the bridge.
Off the bat.
And he takes off the synaptic simulator, walks out of the ready room, and that's where Gilmore is on the bridge saying, and Gilmore says, how is the beach? And Ransom says, hey, how is, you know, these programs on the simulator, are people in there?
Are they supposed to have people in there? Yeah. And she's like, no people, just landscapes.
Yeah. And then she asks why, and he goes, forget it. he doesn't even bring it. I would bring this up with my crew member. Like, hey, I'm seeing people on here. What is this? But he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it at all.
Next, we go to a planet surface, and there's Lessing with his away team. That includes one person.
Exactly. Remember, skeleton crew. Your away team is only one other person. All right.
Lessing's walking through the Malibu hills.
Is that Las Virgenes Canyon?
I feel like it's Malibu Canyon or Las Virgenes, but they probably shot that the same day they did the ocean shots with Seven of Nine.
That would make, Topanga maybe, Topanga Canyon. So they're walking down a hillside.
He says, this reminds me of McKinley Park back home. And then he starts telling a story, like multiple stories. And I was like, he's a talker, Lessing. He just went,
yeah, he's like, blah, 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 blah. He never talked like that before. And all of a sudden he's so verbose with his,
Well, because the crewman can't talk. If they give him lines, they got to pay him like a lot more money. Right. So
basically it's one long Lessing monologue is what
it's a long monologue. And he's just babbling, bubba da bubba da bubba da bub. Boy, he talks a lot.
Anyway. It's important to mention, he does at the very beginning of the scene on his tricorder, he does detect a vein of ore that they have to go and mine for. Yes. And then he goes into his monologue.
About McKinley Park.
Yeah. Yes. They split up a little bit. And the other half of the away team gets basically cold cocked with a phaser rifle. And then my notes, I write down, is that Paris?
Yeah, that was Tom.
Is that Tom?
Oh yeah, it is. That's me.
So you do remember that doing that scene?
I don't remember it. But I could see it was
I kept rewinding it and I was like, yeah, but his hair is darker than Robbie's. So I thought that maybe it wasn't you.
No, it was me.
All right.
It was me. And Chakotay. And then Chakotay comes out and stuns Lessing, the monologuist.
Yeah.
And knocks him down. And then he says, four to beam up. So we got some hostages. So we take these guys up.
Yeah.
We go back to the Equinox Bridge.
Yeah.
And Gilmore is getting some kind of subspace message.
Yeah.
It's the Doctor. And basically the Doctor spills the beans. He's like,
It's evil Equinox EMH.
Evil Doc. Mm-hmm. And he's sending a subspace message saying, hey, Voyager,
they've found you. They polarize their hull to mask their approach is what Evil Doctor tells Ransom. And that Janeway has also ordered an ambush of the away team. And then the transmission becomes garbled and then completely ends. Ransom says, bring him back up again. Can't bring up the Doctor, Evil Doctor. So then he calls to the away team to see if Noah will respond. No response. Gilmore scans the planet surface and realizes that they're not down
there
any longer. They're gone. Yep. So Ransom calls all hands to battle stations. He's ready to fight.
Yeah, here we go for our first battle of this episode. Mm-hmm. Voyager's coming in 30,000 kilometers in range. She says, target their power core.
Yes.
Going to go after their engines first and their power core. We go back to space and we see Voyager kind of coming in a cool, like twisty move as they fire from behind.
Yeah.
This is their ambush.
Ransom returns fire. Chakotay asks Torres for a status report. She can't locate their shield grid generator and asks Chakotay if more power can be diverted to the sensors. He says, stand by. And at that point, another hit from the Equinox damages our deflector. Tuvok tells Janeway, hey, if this goes offline, we're going to be vulnerable to the alien attacks, because that's how Janeway has been repelling these attacks, by boosting our shields with the deflector pulses. So Janeway says to target their weapons array. We jump back onto the Equinox Bridge. Their phasers are now offline. So Ransom orders a full array of photon torpedoes. But Burke says, Bolana's trying to bypass their security protocols. So your girlfriend is trying to hack into their system.
Yeah, she's
doing really well. Ransom orders Burke to stop her. So then she opens up a comm link directly to Burke's station.
Let's pause here for a moment.
Sure.
Bolana opens a comm link. She says, computer, open a private comm link or something, secure comm link to workstation 33 beta.
How does she know
where his workstation is? Okay. Have they been talking behind my back?
I hate to tell you this.
He's a creeper or a stalker or something.
Yeah, or they know each other so well, she just can sense what workstation
Jeez, that was creepy.
I have to, you know, I have to say that this is not good for Tom Paris.
If it's not looking good when she knows where his workstation is.
Yes.
Anyway,
she's pleading with him to stop. She's like, look, this is not a game. People are dying over here. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I wish you weren't one of the people dying. And he's so casual about it.
He calls her BLT again.
BLT. Yeah. And transmission. So he just shuts her out.
He's bad guy. He's bad news. Is. I don't know why she ever dated him. I don't understand.
So we're back on the Voyager bridge. Janeway says to keep targeting their weapons array. One more photon torpedo will probably do the trick. And their weapons are down. And Janeway orders Ransom to surrender his vessel. And we cut back into the Equinox bridge. And he says to, he asks if they still have thrusters, which they do. And he says, lay in a course for the planet's atmosphere. So he figures this is the way to evade Janeway. So Janeway, back on the Voyager bridge, says, what the hell is he doing? And she orders Tom to follow him. Our shields are weakening as we're going in through this planetary surface. It's just kind of buffeting our shields. Chakotay says that we will be attacked by the aliens if we lose our shields. And Janeway doesn't even listen.
She doesn't even respond.
And
he stands up. He goes, Captain!
Captain!
He yells at her.
Captain! You can do
it. This is a suicide mission.
Captain!
Can I hear you? Captain!
That's pretty good.
Captain!
Yeah,
it's a suicide mission. But by the way, a couple things come to mind. This was a very, I loved how the camera worked. They must have put those motors that vibrated because it was doing the really fast shuttering.
Yes.
And there was so much liquid nitrogen and smoke and sparks and things. It was really quite cool. And the long lenses that sort of compressed all of that action was very cool.
Yeah, very much
but
so.
Eventually, Janeway's like, we're going to die. She pulls us out. By the way,
she breaks off the pursuit.
I thought we were the most modern ship around. How can this science ship that should barely be able to make it, Janeway says earlier, like, I don't even know how you've made it this far. And how can they go into this dangerous atmosphere? And they're fine. They can survive it. I guess they had the shielding enhancers or whatever, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a special Nova-class science starship.
I guess so
it has extra shields for descending through planet down to the planet's surface. That's what it has to be, clearly. So she breaks off her pursuit. And once that happens, we're back on the Equinox Bridge. Ransom is informed that Voyager's pulled up and they have suffered major damages. And so then he says, okay, let's pull up as well. And now let's go to warp. Let's go to warp, which they do.
Go on the run again. Mm. They go on the run.
So we're back onto the Voyager bridge after they've gone to warp. Janeway wants to pursue, but Harry says, look, we cannot until we restore primary systems. We must restore the primary systems. And this will take a few hours of work. Janeway's not happy, but she says, well, at least we came away with something. And so now we go to cargo bay
and there's Lessing in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And they basically have the standoff scene where, you know, it's just a great standoff scene. I thought Rick and Kate both played it very grounded and real and intense. And
tension was palpable. Really,
yeah. But she basically says, if you don't help us out, I'm going to drop the shields in this cargo bay in this room.
Yeah.
And then those aliens are going to come in and kill you. You want to die?
Yeah. The aliens will pay, your friends will pay you a visit. Yeah.
She's willing to let him die. He still won't do it.
No.
And so she leaves. She starts to walk out and Chakotay follows her out in the hallway.
But she does tell Noah, she says, guess what? The comm is active. So
we'll be right outside if you change your mind.
Yeah. You have a change of heart. Just say something. We'll stop it immediately.
Yeah.
And he remains steadfast. He doesn't want to do anything. Yep.
And Chakotay runs out in the hall with her, and Beltran was mad.
He was so angry.
He was really angry.
Oh my gosh.
He's like,
and he should be angry. He should be angry.
Yeah. He's defending this guy saying you're going to kill him. And he was just a loyal officer. He doesn't want to let Janeway kill him.
He says, don't do this. Don't do this. And she keeps saying he'll break. He'll break. Like she doesn't, in her mind, she's not going to kill him because she feels like he's going to go ahead and say, okay, I'll tell you what's going on. But Chakotay sees differently. He sees that she has this crazy look in her eye, just this obsessed look. And it's almost as if she's possessed That's what it is. It's a possession.
It's numbness. It's like this cold.
Oh my goodness. Numbness.
You start to hear those noise, those fissure sounds.
Yeah, the fissures are about to
and
open.
And Chakotay runs over and opens up the cargo bay door, runs inside, grabs Lessing, brings him back. So he saves him.
And well, he tries to reactivate the shields first, right? And then it says you need a level 9 authorization. So Janeway's already encrypted it. Yeah. At that point, he's like, I can't take this anymore. That's when he runs in there with his phaser, shoots at the fissure, pulls Lessing out, and then basically throws him up against the wall and says, okay, you have demonstrated your loyalty to your captain. Now let's talk about the Ankari.
He's basically like undermined the captain's plan. he's brought him out and said, no, let's do my plan. Let's talk do my about plan. The
exactly. And the look and that Janeway gives. Look,
oh, and then she steps between them in silence.
The look of death. Look at death. Walks away.
That was very intense.
Very intense scene.
We go to the briefing room and Janeway is off by the window by herself.
You don't see her yet. You don't see her. You see the camera? Yeah, the shot is on Torres first. Yeah.
Hands from B'Elanna.
It's a great shot. Yeah, Torres asking if there's an Ankari vessel less than 2 light years away, how come we haven't detected it? Chakotay says apparently they use a type of propulsion that makes them difficult to find, and that's when the camera lands on Janeway
and the look of death is still there.
It's still there. She hasn't let go of that feeling and that anger and that numbness. And it's really scary to see her like that.
Well, it also was weird to see Chakotay running the room. Like,
it
seemed like he was taking over.
Yeah.
He gives everybody their orders of what to do. And then he says, okay,
you're
all dismissed.
Yeah. It's almost like it was an unspoken mutiny in a way, you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to just take my plan. And you're too crazed right now with your hunt for ransom that I need to take control. And even
he's
talks about
taking over.
He says Lessing has also agreed to adjust our sensors to help find the Ankari. And at that point we have Equinox EMH. No one knows it's him, but you know, clearly the audience knows it's him. He asks, has our prisoner disclosed any other information? At which point someone says that he has not. And so everyone is dismissed. Everyone has to work on repairs. Janeway stays to tell Chakotay that she will try it his way, and that even though they have had disagreements in the past, he has never openly defied her. And that's when he says, you almost killed a man today. And she comes back and says, well, you know, they go back and forth until finally
go back and forth arguing.
It's not about, he says it isn't about rules and regulations. It's about right and wrong. And then he warns her that if she crosses the line again like that, he's not going to allow it. So basically, he's threatening her. Yeah. And she takes that threat as very real. And she walks up and relieves him of duty, which I was absolutely shocked. I was like, what just happened? Holy moly.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So much drama at this point.
Lots of JC shippers are just crying.
They're crying right now. All of them are so sad to see this.
Very sad.
Let's face it, every couple has arguments, but boy, this was I don't know how you go past this. How do you get past this type of craziness? Exterior space shot, a Voyager pursuing a vessel. We don't know, but we assume it's the Ankari. Mm-hmm. We're on the Voyager bridge. There's no response from the Ankari ship. So Janeway just orders a tractor beam. Tuvok actually protests.
He says
the Ankari have done nothing to, and then she cuts him off.
Just do it.
She's mad still.
They camera cuts over to Harry's reaction. Even Harry's shocked by how harsh Janeway has become. And now we have the Ankari on the view screen. And unbeknownst to me, it's Eric Steinberg, almost Ensign Kim Eric Steinberg, who's on screen. And he basically says that he wants nothing to do with them.
Yeah, he says, Starfleet, leave us alone. There's nothing of value here. Get out of here, Starfleet.
He thinks
they're all the same.
Right.
And she's basically, it's not us. It's the Equinox. And you need to summon those spirits. You need to call them in here and tell them what's going on. And he goes, I'll call them. But you're going to have to convince them.
Yeah.
So then we go to cargo bay.
Okay, why do we go there? Why didn't we just call them on the bridge? Why do we have to go to cargo bay to do this?
Maybe
it makes no sense.
Made no sense. And also this scene, I did not like the scene very
much. No, the way it was staged and just the, how it looked, it was just annoying.
It was a weird three shot that just, yes. It was, and the tadpoles just kept flying in circles.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Here we go. This is a weird scene, but they summon the alien spirits, the huge tadpoles.
Yeah.
They keep flying in circles. They basically try to talk to them. Also, I got to say, I didn't love the makeup on this Ankari. It's not my favorite makeup because it didn't move with Eric's face.
Yeah.
It was just a big rubber.
Did you see there was a gap for where the mouth was, and his actual mouth was recessed from the hole inside. So that it was, it was a very ambitious design that maybe just did not translate as well on camera, I think.
Well, it's funny because we do on Resident Alien, we do a full head prosthetic on Alan Tudyk.
Correct.
But we try to leave a little bit around here.
Yeah.
And then we also spend a lot of money and time doing facial enhancements in post-production. So we'll do VFX eyebrows raising because the rubber mask can't do anything.
Oh, it's just, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so a little bit of that goes a long way, but I don't ever remember us doing that kind of facial enhancement on our prosthetics where we would make the rubber kind of move in ways that felt more animated. We didn't do that.
No, so
it could have used it in this scene.
Definitely.
The shot was static. The makeup was kind of, static. It wasn't really expressive.
I agree. They go back and forth. The aliens kind of don't believe Janeway. And the funny thing is, Janeway says, "Do they understand us?" And the Ankari captain's like, "Yep, sure enough." So the tadpoles don't need a universal translator. They can understand Janeway and her English very clearly, but yet we don't understand their screeches. But after going back and forth,
Tuvok says, "Look, we will punish them. They've done this.
Yeah.
You know, they've done this wrong.
Yeah.
And we will punish them. We promise." No. But
they just want them to die.
Tadpoles don't believe it.
Nope.
Even Janeway says, "You know, we have rules. We have Federation rules that they have broken. They've disregarded these rules.
Yeah.
And if they can, if these aliens, the tadpoles, will just stop attacking them, they are going to take care of this."
Right. And the tadpoles don't want it. They say, "Listen, we just want Equinox. We want you to deliver us Equinox." And basically, Janeway, she agrees. She's like, "Sure." And Tuvok protests. Tuvok's like, "Wait a minute. You're going to give them the Equinox and the crew? They're going to be killed immediately." And at that point, Janeway pulls rank again. And she says, "Hey, if you'd like to join Chakotay in the brig, keep at it." You know, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, look how harsh she's. So finally, the aliens are like, "Yep, we'll take it. We'll take the deal.
We'll take it.
We will stop attacking you if you give us Equinox." And that is, again, another stunning turn of events.
She's going to a dark place.
Yeah, so dark.
We go out to space. Equinox flies by. We cut into the Equinox bridge.
Yeah.
Burks tells Ransom that they only have enough fuel for another 500 light years. They're going to need some more fuel.
Right. And this is an important scene because it shows us how far down the dark side Burke has gone, that he's actually gone past Ransom. And now Ransom is heading towards the light.
Yeah, Ransom says, "By fuel, do you mean
Yeah.
the dead aliens?" Yeah.
Yeah. More dead aliens. That's what we need. Yeah.
Yes. And Burke says, "Yeah, the dead aliens. And we're going to need to, murder some more. We're going to need to kill some more because we need some fuel." So that scene. We go into sick bay. Equinox sick bay. And our doctor, our altered doctor, our real doctor who's lost his ethical protocols, is doing this detailed brain surgery, and he's singing "Oh My Darling Clementine."
Mm-hmm.
But then when he's touching different parts of her brain, she's finishing the sentences. She has a beautiful voice, by the way. Her voice is really pretty.
She does. And she talks about that her voice isn't that good. And I'm like, come on, Jerry, you have a great singing voice.
Yeah, she's got a great
Yeah.
It was very cute. Ransom enters and he's feeling really guilty. And again, says, I didn't have a choice in this.
He asks how much longer. The doctor says about an hour, maybe less.
And the doctor does offer to teach him the songs.
Yeah, that's what he said
at the very end. He's like, "I can teach you these old."
Yeah, because I'm going to need somebody. Chestnuts. Yeah, I'm going to need somebody to duet with because she's going to be a vegetable. She's going to be a zucchini and that's it. So I need your help. Ransom doesn't respond to that. He's feeling a little guilt and he leaves.
I love that shadow on the wall, by the way, as he's leaving. There was this.
Oh, like,
yeah. You can see this really hard shadow of him as he's sort of, you know, torn between his dark side. And I don't know. It was a nice little metaphor for a lot of things.
So. Mm-hmm.
We go to what I think is Ransom's quarters, but you might be right. It might be the ready room. I don't know.
Yeah.
He goes and picks up this synaptic simulator. I thought it was a cool rack focus. It, you know, kind of rack focus. The focus goes to the synaptic simulator in the front, in the foreground.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the ocean.
Yeah.
But this time there's the blonde woman, but it pushes in and we realize she turns around. It's seven.
Yeah.
Did you notice she was barefoot out there? And I was thinking, ouch, like she's standing out in Malibu. Those rocks can be rough out there. And she's standing out there barefoot. So, and her cadence was much more human. Like she wasn't, she didn't have her seven, her Borg stuff.
Yeah. She didn't speak like human. State seven. Your name. She wasn't state your name.
No, it was seven. Nice to see. Yeah. It was nice to see a little more. She still had some formality to her, but it was much more relaxed than usual.
Yeah, and asks her what she's doing there. She says, hiding, just like you. I'm hiding, just like you. And, you know, and he's like, well, I'm not hiding. She goes, yes, you are. And a little bit more dialogue between the two. And then Seven eventually morphs into one of the tadpole aliens.
Turns into a giant evil tadpole.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge calls for him.
Yes, that's right. Interrupted by Burke.
Mm-hmm. Burke says Janeway's found them again.
That's right.
We go onto the Equinox Bridge. And Voyager is 58,000 kilometers away, closing in fast. Burke says, hey, we can hide in this class two nebula.
Yeah.
It's not that far away. Mm-hmm. Ransom's like, nope.
Nope.
He says, I want to cooperate with Janeway.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
He's beginning to see the light. And then, of course,
to find another way, which is exactly what Seven said. Find another way.
Yeah. And the minute he says that he wants to cooperate with Janeway, Burke sort of does a Scooby-Doo roll. He doesn't understand what's happening. And he says, wait, is it Ransom who hails Janeway? Yeah. So
Ransom says, hail Janeway. Yeah. Burke says, belay that
raise
order.
Shields.
Yeah. He belay says, that shields. Order, raise shields. He takes command.
Yeah.
He grabs Ransom.
Well, actually, Ransom relieves Burke of duty first, right? So then that's when Burke pulls his phaser and says that he's taking command. So he doesn't want to be relieved of duty. He orders Ransom to be taken to the brig. Gilmore apologizes. Marla says sorry and escorts him off the bridge. Burke now orders a secure channel to be open to Voyager's sick bay. He wants a
secret channel. Yeah, he wants to talk to the doctor.
Yeah.
Secret channel. We cut to sick bay. Doc's
evil doc.
Evil doc's treating someone. And I love how when he gets the secure line call, he leaves the dying guy and takes his tool and just sort of tosses it. He's just like, oh, I got to answer the phone. And he tosses. And my first thought was, how many tricorders did I break just tossing them? I don't know if it was a tricorder or something else, but I was like, I hope we talk to props about that. Because you can't just throw these things around.
They're delicate for sure. And the whole reason why Burke has reached out to Evil Doctor is because he wants Voyager's current shield frequency, which will help in terms of the battle, the fight that is about to happen. And we're in the Equinox engineering room. Ransom says, hey, this isn't the brig. And Gilmore, Marla, says, I know. I'm with you, sir. Let's figure out a way to end this. So they both see the light. And Ransom says, okay, let's figure out how to access transporter control. We jump back to the bridge, the Voyager bridge, and Paris says they are dropping out of warp. In sickbay, the doctor gives Burke the Voyager shield frequency, evil doctor, that is. We're back on the Voyager bridge, and they get through our shields, which causes some major damage. Janeway says, you know, let's get us out of range and let's remodulate shields.
Remodulate these shields? What's going on? That's weird.
Burke is relentless. Burke says, pursue, maintain fire. He doesn't want to let Voyager out of his sight. So he's still coming at Voyager.
He's got the spy on board.
Yeah, we get the dadgum spy. So yeah, he knows everything, right?
He keeps penetrating the shields. We keep having these big blasts. Yep. I did notice that Kate had really big hair because she kept when Kate does her shakes, she sort of rocks forward.
Yeah,
with her
she
head
does
down
80s and metal rocker.
She does the hair flip back. So her hair kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It was just all over the place. Our weapons have been taken out. Tuvok says he's been rotating the shield frequency every 10 seconds. He doesn't understand what's happening. Paris then tells us we've lost impulse engine. So the Voyager is taking so much damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we get interrupted with an incoming transmission from Ransom.
Ransom?
He's there. Finally.
He tells us on the bridge that Burke has mutinied.
Yeah.
And basically, Janeway trusts him. Like, he lays it all on the table. She thinks for a minute.
Yeah.
And then she says, okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Right.
And I think she says something like, he may have forgotten that he's a captain for a little while.
Yeah.
But now he's remembering.
So he's willing to give up the Equinox, basically.
Yeah.
And he can beam everyone onto Voyager is what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. We jump to the Equinox bridge. Burke realizes that someone is trying to beam them off of the Equinox. And so he calls for force fields. And we jump to Equinox engineering.
He puts force fields, I think, just around the
bridge. Around the bridge alone. Yeah, just around the bridge.
Just around the bridge. Force fields around the bridge. Ransom orders Gilmore to transport herself and a couple crew members along with 7 of 9.
Right.
While he will take care of Max. He's going to stay there and take care of the ship's shield grid. So we cut to the transporter room. And in the transporter room, we see them beam in. And there's 7 on the ground. 7's back on our ship.
Now, the assumption is when she beams in, so does the doctor. Correct? Like our good doctor is also beamed over, right?
I would think so. Yes. Yeah. Well, he does come back on our ship. So
exactly. So they don't show that scene of what happened in terms of putting his,
this is another part of the doctor. Like, where is his program living?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it in sick bay on the bad ship and that he was being holo projected in sick bay? He doesn't have the mobile emitter anymore. So because Evil Doctor has that.
Yeah, you know what? So he wouldn't have been able to have been
beamed
over at all.
This is what I'm saying. Okay, so next scene. Let's go to the next scene.
Okay,
so Doc,
right. Okay.
Doc has returned.
Yeah.
So now Evil Doctor's still working, trying to give the codes away.
Yeah.
But Good Doctor walks in.
Confronts Evil Doctor.
Yeah, he says, my ethical subroutines have been restored. And the Evil Doctor threatens to blow out all of the holo emitters in the room because he's planted
these charges.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand. He said he made a copy of himself, or he says that later on. Okay.
Who said that? Not in this scene.
Good Doctor. Maybe it's in another scene.
Not in this scene. Because right when he says, I'm going to blow up the entire, and I'll ruin your, I'll destroy your program.
He says computer, delete
the Equinox EMH. Yeah. And I thought, boy, that was easy. That was so quick and easy to just end his existence, basically.
He deleted him.
Yeah, he's done. He's finished.
And then he does say to the
Unless he's in the trash file.
You could recover him.
You could probably recover him.
That's true. He does. And then he calls the Equinox Bridge. Good Doctor does. And he says, I'm afraid your doctor is no longer on call.
Another funny line there.
I love that line. Ransom tells Burke.
Yeah.
That he's dropped the shields around the ship.
Except for the bridge and his location, basically. He suggests that he and the rest of the bridge crew beam to Voyager. Burke basically says no. Why? Beam over there so I can be in the brig for the next 30 years. So his FO, his first officer, basically says, look, what are we going to do? And Burke says, we're going to go to a shuttle. We're going to run to a shuttle. He says, we're not going to make it. He's like, yeah, we're going to make it. So they leave the bridge, and now we see a shot of Equinox engineering. The aliens are coming through, and they're buffeting their warp core and doing damage there.
Yeah, now we're out in the hallway of the Equinox, which I think is that hallway, because they round a corner, but it looks like the hallway between the mess hall and that other room that looks like the mess hall on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It was our hallway redressed. And Burke is leading the remaining bridge crew down our redressed hallway. They're headed to the shuttle bay. They've got phaser rifles with them. The fissures start opening up everywhere. Yeah. They're firing left and right. And eventually they all turn to mummies. Like they can't, they're just overwhelmed. There's no
And
more
once again,
fields.
Burke is just barely touched by one alien. He's completely mummified.
He's a mummy.
Yeah. Yep. So are you happy? Are you happy that Burke mummified?
I'm very happy.
You didn't have to deal with them anymore.
Ex-boyfriends should be mummies. Okay. The bridge now.
Voyager Bridge.
Voyager Bridge. Harry says there's only one life sign left on the ship. So these aliens have gotten everybody except for Ransom.
Yeah. Ransom comes on the view screen.
He says things didn't work out as he planned. He says he basically says he's going to fly away. And his ship's about to explode. He's got to get a safe distance away from Voyager so it doesn't damage their ship.
But Janeway does offer to beam him aboard.
Yeah, she says, come aboard. Get off the ship. just set it to auto navigation. And he refuses. He says, no time.
So there's a little hey, there we go. Another time reference. He does tell Janeway, you've got a good crew. Get them home, which was a nice little tagline. I mean, he's come back to the light. He's redeemed his character finally. And he attaches that synaptic simulator one last time. He sees the ocean without Seven bothering him. And he ends up basically being vaporized once his ship explodes. And we do see an exterior space shot of the Equinox exploding.
I had some confusion about this synaptic simulator because at first it was just landscapes.
Yeah.
And then he saw Seven in there, which was never quite explained if that was a hallucination or if she had tapped in somehow.
Right.
And then in the last scene, he's actually in it. How did that happen? He was standing on the beach. Like, what are the rules? I don't know. There was a lot
There's no rules.
But he does explode. We cut back to Janeway, by the way. Did you notice she had her hands like this?
Oh, and he had his hands like that too. Yeah. In a way, right. So they both did a similar hand thing. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
It was a nice little
I don't know if that was
there.
Directed like that, but very interesting. Yes. We have a captain's log supplemental. Janeway says the aliens have withdrawn to their realm and that she has reinstated Chakotay. He's back as the commander again. Mm-hmm. So now we're in sick bay and the doctor has finished repairing Seven. He expresses a little bit of remorse for his actions on the Equinox. Seven says she understands that his program was altered, and she suggests enhancing his program with security protocols to prevent any future tampering. And she says that she can assist him with that. And he says, well, I appreciate that. And she starts walking out of sick bay, and she says, oh, also, by the way, you were off key when they were singing Clementine.
Yes.
And she says that she can also assist him with that as well.
I will assist that with you too. Yes, I'll assist you with that too. It felt like a date.
It did because he makes an appointment in, and I said date slash appointment in Holodeck 2 with her and a tuning fork. And
yes,
so
he says, just you, me, and a tuning fork.
Yeah. So
it was very kind of flirty and datey.
Most definitely.
But I do think that Seven helping enhance his safety protocols and fix this inconsistency with his program that he can be here, there, everywhere. The whole doctor logic to me was
very confusing. Yeah. It's very confusing. We're in the briefing room now, and Janeway is just dressing down the Equinox remaining crew. She is basically telling them that they will be stripped of rank, that privileges will be limited, and they will be under constant supervision. They will have to earn our trust since they took advantage of our trust when they first were on the Voyager ship.
Yes, and she goes down the line.
She lists everything. Noah Lessing, Marla Gilmore, James Morrow, our admiral, his name, and a couple of other names as well.
Brian Sofum and Angelo Dassoni.
Exactly.
But I was like, James Morrow, he had mentioned that to us. Our admiral level patron had mentioned this to us, that there was a CompuServe group.
Yeah, CompuServe Star Trek group.
Star Trek.
Yes.
It was their bulletin board that they chat room or whatever.
Yes, but this is what he said, if you recall, that the writers of Voyager would often enter this room to sort of, you know, listen to their ideas, and like they would
that's
bring
crazy.
Up
crazy.
Yeah, they would sit there and say, here's a pitch for you. So they were a really valuable resource for the writers, evidently. And as an homage to them, as a thank you for their collaboration or their ideas, they included some of the names of the people that were in this CompuServe
that were in the CompuServe Star Trek group.
James Morrow was one of them.
James Morrow,
yeah.
Brian Sofum and Angelo Dassoni.
Yeah,
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I loved it. I remember. I'd forgotten that he had said it happened in this episode. I was really happy to hear it.
Yeah.
By the way, so all these people were stripped of rank and kept on our ship. Why didn't we see Rick Worthy anymore?
We never saw them again.
Never saw them again. I guess they replaced some of our dead crew because we did lose a few people in this episode.
Yeah, but then they're in the lower decks at this point. So if they're in the lower decks, we just don't see them anymore. You know, We don't.
That's crazy.
Which I think would be funny if Lower Decks, the show, actually included these people. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
The Equinox crew.
Yeah.
We go to the bridge. They walk out of the briefing room.
Yes.
So they dismiss the Equinox guys. Mm-hmm. And it's just Chakotay and Janeway. Awkward.
Very awkward.
They walk off onto the bridge, which is being repaired. So not a lot of people out there right now.
No. Janeway asked how the crew is, and Chakotay says frayed nerves. Neelix is organizing a potluck to help boost morale.
Yes.
Janeway asks if he's going. Chakotay says, yes, he's replicating the salad. Janeway says, I'll bring the croutons. So this is her way of breaking the ice a little bit, sort of.
Getting back together.
Yeah. And she says, then she gets serious. She says that basically he could have staged a mutiny of his very own. And then Chakotay says that the thought had crossed his mind, but that it would have crossed the line if he had done that.
Yeah.
And then, Janeway looks over and says, oh, there's Voyager ship plaque on the ground.
Which
and
after is just all these like years, what happened in the part one episode on the Equinox.
Yes. So our plaque is falling just like the Equinox plaque. And she's perplexed because we've had years of battles and it's never fallen down before. But clearly it has fallen down here. And my takeaway is that it fell because the captain basically, both captains crossed the line and they went to the dark side. So when you go to the dark side, your ship plaque just pops right off
the wall. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens.
The ship will let you know if you're going too far.
Yes.
The plaque will just eject itself.
And Chakotay, the voice of reason, says, let's put it back where it belongs.
Which is exactly what she said to Ransom.
So. And we end the episode with a close-up of Janeway's face, and she's very pensive, and she's probably
she's very
wrestling.
Haunted. Yeah. It was not a satisfying ending to me. I felt like she's changed, but it felt like she changed, but yet I bet next week when we watch the next episode that she's not going to be that changed. She's going to be... It's the same thing that happens. I bet we never, Tom and B'Elanna never talk about her ex-boyfriend ever again. Like we just let these episodes happen in a bubble and then it goes away. Okay, what's your theme? Do you have a theme for this?
My theme is don't let your emotions get the best of you. Because that is pretty much what Janeway did and also what Ransom did before Janeway. And I almost feel like Ransom's journey to the dark side was contagious. It just immediately affected Janeway and she became exactly the same thing. So
interesting.
Yeah. How about you?
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
My theme is some version of listen to people around you. If Janeway had listened a little more, which starts with she let her emotions get the best of her, but then she was unable to listen to anybody. So,
I guess my other theme would just be to build on that. What you just said is just don't have a one-track mind. It's so easy to be so focused on one thing that you don't even look at other solutions.
Yeah,
you're not even smelling the roses. You got to let you step back for a second and look at the big picture.
Yeah.
You're so myopic that you see one solution and one solution only, which is hunt down Ransom and end him, And it's just like, come on, it's just too much. It's too much. Okay. You need balance in your life, right?
You do.
You can't be obsessed and excessive. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
That's what it is.
What is your rating for this episode?
Oh, I am going to give it, I'm going to give it a 7.4.
Oh,
wow. What I'm going to give it. Yeah. Just because I was so confused with what happened with the doctor and why Janeway and Chakotay didn't die immediately from being touched by this. So those issues were a lot of logic bumps to me
in this. More but, as we talked it through,
there
were more than I realized. So maybe my rating is too high.
Yeah. But it's still a very exciting episode. I mean, the way it was shot and the acting from all the guest stars, I still think it was an entertaining episode, or two episodes at least.
I think part two was a little better. I think I gave part one an 8.0. Mm-hmm. I gave part two an 8.2.
Oh, okay.
I actually thought it was better. It was more satisfying, even with all the logic bumps. Okay. Our Admiral and Captain average rating for Equinox Part 2 is 7.7.
I was almost going to revise my 7.4 to 7.7. I really, really? Was. I'm not going to. I'm right. Not joshing. I would have been right on the money. Because the minute you went 8.2, I was like, oh, my 7.4 is too low. It should be a little bit higher. And I was going to go 7.7.
7.4, 8. That's almost right.
Oh, it's almost right in the middle there. So yeah. There you go.
So we ended up together right around where they
7.7.
were.
7.7. There you go.
Okay, everybody. That was a big two-parter in a very dark place. Let's get out of it. Hopefully the next one's a comedy, I hope.
You want a comedy? Is that what you want right now, Robbie McNeil?
What's more comedy? It's more levity.
You know, that would be nice. It would be nice. Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in for this week's episode. And as Robbie said, hopefully next week's episode will be a comedy. The name of that episode is Survival Instinct, which probably is not too comedic.
Sound funny to me. That's not a funny title.
No, not a funny title. But once again, thank you for tuning in.
Or if the title was, instead of Survival Instinct, if it was Survival Stinks, that would be the comedy version. Survival Stinks is the comedy version, or Survival Instinct is the action version.
All right. For all the Patreon patrons out there, please stay tuned for your bonus material.